But how will we even start to understand what Krishna Prema is? Well, we can start with affection for Guru, Guru and Vaishnava. But to get affection for Guru and Vaishnava, you must have some relationship. You have family members. You may be affectionate with your family members. But you have long relationship with them. You give gifts, they give gifts, you do things, they do things for you, that relationship is there. Naturally, there's affection. In the same way, if we have some relationship with Guru, some relationship with the Vaishnavas, the same sort of affection will grow. And so what is the basis of that relationship? Well, giving gifts, expressing one's mind, one's heart, rather. We don't always want to express the mind. So much junk may be coming in the mind. But heartfelt feelings, that we can express. These are the relationships, the activities of devotees. And so, but of course everything should be in relationship with Krishna. But in this way, we can develop some relationship. And especially for the relationship with Sri Guru, this would be our highest benefit. And that relationship, it can manifest through service. Until we enter the mood of service, it will be hard to have a relationship with Guru. Until that point, there's distance, not close relationship. Not bad. You're here, okay, we come, and yes, it is service to chant, it is service to attend the program, service to take prasad, but to come to a higher service level, we have to give of ourselves, give everything. So when we take on some practical service, some responsible service for our Guru, this is where we're required. I mean, it's necessary for us to give everything. For example, if you get the opportunity to accept some responsible service, and you take that on, then it takes all your brain power. It takes your energy to do properly. For example, let's say for Acharya Maharaj, he has this responsibility, the service, to build this guest house. So many factors are involved in that service. He has to arrange for the carpenters, arrange for the concrete workers, deal with the contractor, deal with the workers, deal with the suppliers, deal with the locality and the permit, deal with so many things. This is his responsibility. He has taken on a responsible service that requires so much, so many different things, that he has to always be thinking about, oh, this, what about this? I have to take care of that. What if this is the wrong size? What if this? And in this way, his mind is completely controlled. And it's controlled by service. It's controlled with responsible service. So that means when the mind is engaged in service, it is purified. The mind is not giving problem, and our devotional life is much easier. But not only this, the mind is controlled, all the senses are utilized, everything is being utilized in the service of Krishna and Guru. But then, with the successful execution of that service, and Gurudev is very pleased. Oh, you are helping me serve my Guru Maharaj. So that thing that we're striving for, to please Guru, is accomplished through service. To do this properly is not easy. And not always the opportunity will come to anyone. It is a rare thing. But if we get that opportunity for seva, and can do it successfully and please Guru, There is no greater thing we can do in this world. And the other example, we must say, and Srila Sridhar spoke about this, the Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj. Govinda Maharaj calls his mood desperate. And remember in SoCal, he was speaking about Srila Swami Maharaj. And he used that word. And some lady objected. How can you say that? But what Govinda Maharaj was saying is that Swami Maharaj's desire to serve, to please Srila Saraswati Thakur was so intense. He was desperate to find a way to fulfill Srila Saraswati Thakur's order. And whatever he could do to do that, he was ready to do. And that included him traveling across the ocean to a foreign country he had never been before, with practically no money. We've all heard this before. But the reality of it is very heavy. Very heavy. And on the way, he suffered two heart attacks, practically died. And in his writings, his poem on that journey, he revealed his heart's desire. And that is to please his guru. Such a big, responsible service he accepted and carried out and pleased his guru. So this is our life. This is what our acharyas are telling us. This is the essence. If we want success in spiritual life, we can chant X number of rounds a day. We can attend so many programs. We can dress like a devotee. We can put on tila. But if you really want to do something, if you really want to make some progress, if you really want to try and attract the attention of that higher world, Krishna, then service, pleasing Guru, that will do it. Otherwise, how will we do it? There are so many people in this world. How many innumerable living entities? Many people, they chant Hare Krishna, they chant other mantras. Many people come to the community. What will it take for us to draw the attention of that Supreme Lord? He's enjoying with his associates in the transcendental world. What will it take for us to attract him? We can't go there unless he glances his merciful glance on us, unless we are given entrance by his serving group. We can't force our way in, not through our own activities, not through our own regulated principles or anything like this. These things won't give us entrance into the spiritual realm. They won't make us qualified. They may assist on the path. They may help us come to the point where we understand the importance of service. But what is necessary is self-sacrifice, dedication, and service. This, you can't separate these things. If we want to know what is the essence of spiritual success, self-sacrificing service, that is the essence. Yes, I'm ready to do whatever my master wants. I'm ready to give. If I don't care about my own interests, I don't care about my own well-being, I want to serve my master. I want to please my guru. Everything is there. Everything I want is there, and I'll do what is necessary. And if we get the good fortune to be given some service, we take off and run with it. That will be our success. And we carefully protect and nurture that service and do it to the best of our ability. And by Krishna's divine arrangement, we may get the opportunity to get that service, and some difficulties may come, and all of these things are Krishna's sweet arrangement to see. how much we're willing to give Him, how much we want to surrender to Him. How are we His completely? All these things are sweet opportunities for us to surrender completely to Krishna's will. Krishna's will, Guru's will, anything. How can we understand Krishna's will? Only through Guru. We can read so many books. It may not mean a thing. But one word from Guru, everything is there. So really, our connection is with Guru. And service to Guru, that is our spiritual life. That is everything. If we want to stay on the outside, like Srila Prabhupada used to always give the example of the honey jar. You can lick, see the honey, you can lick the outside, but you won't get a taste. But to get inside to the honey, that means service. If we're simply hovering on the outside, doing the external activities, we won't ever get the taste. The real taste comes through the service. Srila Rupa Goswami speaks about the glories of the Holy Name. How much nectar there is in the Holy Name. So how will we taste that? Well, Mahaprabhu, He gives the key. If we're humble, more humble than the grass, tolerant, more tolerant than a tree, I'm ready to give honor to others, to everyone. Srila Govinda Maharaj says, even to those who are not worthy of honor, we give honor. Then in that mood, we can chant Hare Krishna. In that mood, we can chant without offense. But how to understand that? How to get to that point of chanting without offense? The only way is through self-sacrifice. It's through surrender. It's through giving ourselves completely to Krishna. And how do we do that? Service. Service to Guru helps us surrender. Service to Guru gives us the opportunity for atmanivedana, complete self-surrender, self-sacrifice. And this self-sacrifice, this is what softens our hearts. This self-sacrifice, this is what gets us free from the anartas and the offenses to chanting. It's this self-sacrifice and service that gives us the opportunity to actually chant without offense. So if we want to chant Krishna's name, through service we can learn how. Through connection with Guru we can learn how. But connection with Guru means service. Service connection. You've heard that so many times Guru Namaraj is saying service connection. So connection, our connection with Guru is not a formal thing. It's not, oh yes, I have initiation. No, it means service. Service connection. Yes, if on paper, yes, I've been initiated by Srila Govinda Maharaj. Does that mean much? Maybe, but not much. But if our connection is a service connection, that means something. Yes. And our master, he will recognize, yes. And he says, oh, yes, he's my disciple. But if we're pleasing him, yes. And you can see those devotees who are pleasing Gurudev. Just when they walk in the room, he becomes so happy. This is what I aspire to please my guru that much. And I'm trying, but unsuccessfully to this point. But maybe, I have hope, that if I keep trying, then maybe I can. But this is our life. We have to try. Maybe we will be unsuccessful. Maybe unsuccessful a million times. But we're trying. And eventually, we may be successful. But if just the glimmer of hope exists, that maybe we can satisfy our guru, maybe we can please our guru, then that is worth our life's work. It is worth everything. There's nothing in this world that can compare in value to pleasing the guru. Nothing compares to that. Not a million good works, not feeding 2 billion people, all these things. Nothing compares. If we can just please our guru, this will give everything. Ultimately, this world is an illusory place. We're thinking it's reality, but it's not. It's some reflection, a distorted reflection. So how much importance will we put on this place? How much importance will we put on our little existence here? That's okay.
No.
So, you know, we have to try and wake up to reality. Reality means that that higher world, and Guru Gurmash calls it the service world, that higher world is waiting for us. That's our home. It's our birthright. It's where we belong. It's where we'll be happy. It's our home. Purnamasa's home comfort. That's where everything is there for us. Our affectionate guardians are waiting for us to come. Our friends, everybody is there. We just have to go. But what does that mean? We have to wake up to that. Wake up to that service world. And again, the word service comes out again. Service. What is happening in that higher plane? Everyone is serving Krishna. Everyone. The trees are serving Krishna. The birds are serving Krishna. The breeze is serving Krishna. The devotees are serving Krishna. Everyone is serving Krishna. Service. Service. That is the common thread we see. Service connection. Service world. Divine servitor. Dignity of the divine servitor. Service. Service. This is the key. So how much importance we can put on this? We can never put too much importance on this. And the devotees. The more they serve, the happier they become. We want happiness? Happiness is found within self-sacrifice. It's almost a paradox. You want to be happy? Then you give everything and don't expect any return. In this world, that's the opposite. People think, oh, to be happy, I must accumulate, I must get, I must take. But that's the opposite of the reality. The reality is the more I give, then the more I become. And when we give everything, then we have some chance to enter into that higher plane. This is atmanivedanam. This is complete self-surrender. And what is the self-sacrificing mood in that highest plane? As Srila Guru Maharaj would say, Mother Yasoda, she's whipping Krishna sometimes when he's resting. Does that mean? What is? He says, that doesn't mean anything. She's ready to die a million deaths to remove one drop of sweat from Krishna's forehead. This is some indication of her level of self-sacrifice. How much she is willing to give of herself for just the teeny service to Krishna. That's what we can hold as our ideal. This is where we want to head. This is the direction we want to take. This type of thing. Here, we must know that regard for Guru and Vaishnava is necessary before affection. So first, we must have some connection, connection within the association of Guru's devotees, of Gurudev's devotees. We must have some faith in Guru. Some faith means some regard. Yes. If this personality is sadhu, his elevated personality, I will approach him and ask him for guidance. Then, progress will come to us. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha to bhajana kriya tato nartamizriti sayat tato nishta. Affection comes to us through nishta, then reaching. first is Rajana Kriya, the practicing, like, following the principles and doing, following the instructions of our Gurudev in our practicing life. And when we become steady with that, steady in our service, so that our service is continuous, no gaps. Not that, oh yeah, tonight I will go see a video. Some gap. Today I'm thinking about something else. Some gap. No, but when our service is steady, when we're thinking about serving our Guru, when that is our life, as our consciousness, 100%, that's nishtha, steadiness in service. And at that point, Gurudev is saying, affection can come. Affection can arise within the heart. Already affection is coming from that side for us. There's no shortage from Krishna's side. Everything is complete there. Krishna is very responsible in his service. And his service is to give mercy to us. Mahaprabhu came to give us mercy. Mahaprabhu came to give us this highest gift. And Mahaprabhu's servitors are here to deliver that. And on their side, there is no shortage. There's no deficiency. Everything is perfect there. Our side, there is some deficiency. And that deficiency is separate interest. We have some interest other than Krishna. So, the closer we get to having no other interest than serving Krishna, that steadiness is nishtha. And when we're there, when we have some steadiness, then those feelings of affection arise within our hearts. And this is the first glimmer of praying divine love. Some hint. Divine love is very high thing. Overwhelming. But this affection we can have, this is the beginning, some hint. And then, yeah, through nishtha, then the ruchi. Ruchi is this affection, this attachment, the taste. Oh, we get a taste for serving, a taste, and then we don't want things in this world anymore. This is yukta vairagya. It means we don't have to artificially renounce everything in this world. If we can get this taste, then automatically we don't care for these things. You know, so many spiritual practitioners in such a rigid way, they're rejecting sense gratification, rejecting everything in this world, and thinking this will give them spiritual life. But spiritual life is not a process of rejection. It's a process of acceptance, of service, of giving. So, through service, steady service, we can get the platform of nishtha. Then, some chance at ruchi, taste. And then we have ruchi. There's no question of renunciation. You don't care for these worldly things. You don't care. They have no attraction anymore, because this taste is so high. It is so wonderful. Divine relationship is always closely connected with sadhu sangha, association with a saint, a pure devotee of God. But before that, shraddha or faith is necessary. If faith is firm, then we can try and have a relationship with the sadhu. And through the association of the sadhu, learning to serve with devotion and becoming purified of evils, a higher plane of affection may come to us. But first, it is still necessary to go through 3 or 4 stages before affection. Still, it may come to some immediately. Affection is within everyone, and it can grow without any cause. Even in this mundane world, we sometimes see that from the very first day of meeting, some people are very good friends. As soon as they see each other, affection comes immediately. Similarly, it is also possible in spiritual dealings. But before that, some sukriti, some good fortune must work in the background. And how do we get good fortune? Serving the devotees. How do we get Sukriti? Serving the devotees. Again, service. Everything we get is service. When practicing spiritual life, doing what we call sadhana, at that time it is necessary to have the association of the saintly devotees. Through that association, regard grows within, and hankering arises. Actually, hankering gives affection. But until we have real hankering for divinity, it remains suppressed. After purification, firmness will come. And from that, ruchi, or taste for the divine, will come. And from ruchi, affectionate relationship begins. But all these things are attained through association with a saintly devotee. Without that association, divine serving activity is not possible. When one is not qualified, the proper serving may not be accomplished. In an unqualified way, one's mind may wander at random, thinking this is perfect, that is perfect. But because one is living in the environment of illusion, it will not be real service. No doubt, by good fortune, it may sometimes be correct, but generally it will not go in the correct line, because the illusory environment will misguide us. So Gurudev is saying that for actual service, we have to have connection with bona fide guru, a Vaishnava. Otherwise, it may just be illusory what we're thinking is service. We need connection with devotee. Anuraniyam mahato mahiyam. If we say that Brahman, the spirit, is very great, the idea of greatness will mean something like the sky. Beyond the sky, we have no idea of greatness. But such knowledge will not act there. The transcendental world is completely separate and beyond this knowledge. So generally, we shall go the wrong way. This is why proper association, sadhu sangha, is necessary. Sukadev is trying to give some idea here of how that transcendental world is beyond our conception. So that means that we can't try and figure this out ourselves and say, okay, I can do this on my own. If I do this, I'll take a little here, I'll get a little there, and then I'll make my progress. And you say, no. It's beyond our capacity, beyond our conception. And the example he gives is if you say, oh, Brahman is great. The sky is great. Brahman is like the sky. Well, some may think, okay, that's a valid analogy. The sky is practically limitless. But beyond it, but Brahman is so much greater than that. This is one little sky, and one part of this teeny planet, and one part of this teeny universe. And the universes emanating from the mouth of Mahavishnu are innumerable. And we're in some teeny place, and we're comparing this little portion of sky to Brahman? It's ridiculous. It is so far beyond our conception. So Gurudev is saying, if we try with our teeny brains to conceive of what is that transcendental world, we will surely be misled. We will surely be wrong. So the only way we can get some connection there is the connection with the sadhu. There are two kinds of sadhu sangha. When we have no person sadhu to associate with, the holy books will help us. But if we have the association of a good sadhu, we can attain the divine goal under his guidance directly. Not everyone will feel affection. Good fortune will work in the background. With strong good fortune, one can immediately cross over the next three stages after association with the Sadhus. This is possible in very special cases only. Our Guru Maharaj used the word affection, but it is necessary for us to know the line in which he did so. Affection is possible everywhere, even from the lower level to the higher level. Someone wants to feed others. That is a kind of affection. He does not want to eat so much himself. He would rather feed others, and this gives him pleasure. If anyone eats more at that time, that gives him pleasure. The affection of the distributor immediately goes to that person if someone is taking prasadam. Another example is that even before a child is born, affection for the child grows in the mother's heart. When there is a firm relationship, affection may be established. And the relationship will be firm through sadhusanga. Everyone has a relationship with everyone, but feelings are manifest according to the relationship. Even if people may not know that they are relatives, by birthright, they have an automatic relationship with him. Sometimes our Guru Maharaj would say that by dharma buddhi, a virtuous attitude, sense control is possible. At that time, a relationship with the higher will also come to us through that virtuous attitude. Affection for the higher will grow if we keep a virtuous attitude. I know that this medicine is bitter, and my tongue and senses will not want to accept it. But my intelligence will give me more than that. My intelligence will say, if you take this bitter thing, your health will be better. Then affection comes to us for that bitter medicine. In this way, we can try to have a proper relationship. So what Gurudev is saying is that self-sacrifice, maybe at first, a bitter medicine, giving up our own interests, giving up our comfort, giving up the things that we are attached to. This may be bitter medicine at first. But this will be good for our spiritual health. And the result will be that we will get some affection for Guru through our self-sacrifice. That virtuous attitude is living with us. We may be living in the mundane world, the illusory environment, but virtuous attitude does not forsake us. Otherwise, we would live randomly. We do not live at random. When someone is traveling opposite to my direction, there will be a clash or a crash. If I don't leave some room for him, that is a virtuous attitude. Gurudev is saying that if we act properly in this world, in a virtuous way, being kind to others, this will be good for our progress. He's not saying it's essential. He's saying it will help. When affection is not openly expressed, it is necessary to correct our vision. Then it will come. Sometimes during the time of Srila Guru Maharaj, he would insist on some plane of action according to his desire. But we could not understand his logic. And if we objected, he could not understand our idea either. Still, we followed Guru Maharaj's idea. Virtuous attitude. And when the result came, we would think, oh, Guru Maharaj has done so much good for me. This happened many times. Sadhu Sangha, if we can follow it, it will give us relief from so many things. It will give us good results in the future. But all depends on Shraddha, faith. Adho Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha. First faith, then saintly association is ours. And the translation of Shraddha is more than just faith. Actually is affectionate faith. Chanting the holy name is also like this. We are chanting Hare Krishna, but are we really chanting? Are we just creating a completely material sound vibration? Srila Rupa Goswami has described this very nicely. Ato Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Griham Indriya. How should we chant? Sevan Mukhi Hi Jivado Svayam Evas Puratyada. He will reveal himself. When he is happy with us, he will feel, here is my dancing stage. If we properly prepare that stage, he will happily come to dance on our tongues. We cannot expect to catch the holy name with our mundane tongue. The holy name is transcendental, and we cannot catch it by the use of our mundane senses. This is why Guru Maharaj gave so much importance to service life. Seva is service. The attitude of service is necessary. And if we are firm in our service attitude, the stage will automatically be built in our bodies. So many say that they initiated, but have they got real initiation or not? In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Dikshakali Bhaktikari Atmi Samarpana Se Kali Krishnatare Kari Atmasana. When one is initiated by a genuine guru, because the guru is non-different from Krishna, Krishna will take full charge of the disciple. And when Krishna does that, nothing mundane can remain. Atmasama means transcendental. Krishna makes the disciple transcendental. When he surrenders to the guru, Krishna makes him transcendental. Se Deha Karitara Chiranandamaya. His form appears the same, but actually it is transformed into a transcendental form. We see this devotee seated here, but his form is a transcendental form. Then, Aparpita Dehe Krishna Charana Bhajan, Bhajaya. After that, the disciple does bhajan, divine service, and Krishna accepts this service. So where is the justification for all this? If everyone says it is all false, then no one will take initiation. But another part of Chaitanya Charitamrita explains to us that this is a certain stage of development. Brahmananda Brahmite Konya Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasadipai Bhakti Lata Bij Premnohi Bijapadam. The Guru takes the responsibility to give the seed of Krishna Prema. So Gurudev is saying that when you take initiation from a bona fide guru, Krishna himself takes responsibility for you. So we are not to be hopeless. Now we are given the seed. If we plant it properly, it will gradually become transcendental. This is the inner meaning. So we cannot be hopeless. The other day, I said that we have got two very great gurus. One is Srila Swami Maharaj, and the other is Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So we have no doubt that we have got the real seed. The seed is genuine. We see that all over the world people are chanting Hare Krishna. It is a fact. Everyone knows. Even in Russia, also they know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Also in Hungary. And this consciousness was given by Swami Maharaj. And Srila Swami Maharaj considered Srila Guru Maharaj as his guru. So we have no doubt that we have not only got a great guru, but two great gurus. They are Karnadara. They are our guardians. The guru is the captain of the ship. If we do not follow the orders of the captain, that is our defect, not his. So we should try now to plant that seed properly. That duty is called bhajana kriya, or proper performance of devotional duties and services. And through that, anartha nivritti, purification, will automatically come. A sense-controlled person is free from mundane attachment, and we are fortunate that we have seen many such souls. But all credit is to my guru. He can make a crow into a garuda, and no credit is mine. If I feel that anything is to my credit, then I fall to the worst position. And such a sentiment must come from my heart, not just formally. If someone wants to show, I am a Vaishnava, so I must show my humility, that is not Vaishnavism. Humility will come from the heart, and that is real humility. And so that ends that chapter. Anybody have any questions? So it starts with Samsukriti. But Samsukriti means some connection with Krishna or his devotees. But it pretty much means devotee. So maybe some service is done, even unknowingly. Some donation is given, or some help is given, you know, even unknowingly, some merit is there. But that Sukriti, how it will act, is that it will give opportunity for more Sukriti. And so when some enough agyata or unknowing Sukriti is there, then some opportunity for knowing Sukriti. So before, maybe someone has helped unknowingly, but then they get the opportunity by Krishna's sweet arrangement to do some conscious service for a devotee. And that is jnana sukriti. And that is a bigger quantity of sukriti. And then the more one gets that sukriti, because some little service to a devotee knowingly, what will be the result? Opportunity for more. And then with some more service, and then gradually that Sukriti is built to the point where the desire grows within the heart to search for the truth. And it wakens, oh, why am I here? What should I be doing? Automatically that desire arises. And then, from that, you see, oh, who are these people, these devotees? Can I get something there? Can I get the truth there? And then they approach. And some faith is there. From that inquiring attitude and some more association, an association, yes, this is what I was searching for. So gradually, that basis of faith is established. But it all starts with some sukriti, some connection, some even unknowing. So it's sort of a gradual process, like that. But as we come closer, so now we're here. We're here in the mud. Holy Dham. It's actually, it's incredible, our good fortune. It's unestimable. Unestimable? You can't estimate it. Dandavat Maharaj. But only way we've gotten here is by much sukriti and the gracious glance of the devotees in their association. And this is why we're here. And we can only be here if we have some faith, some sharpa. That yes, this is a valuable thing. This is a real thing. And the more we go, then the more that faith can be strengthened. The more we associate with people who have faith, and we will get there. So yes, they feel very strongly about this. I think it's true. And then we proceed with that faith, and then some confirmation comes from the environment that, oh yes, I can see this is true. Some feelings within me, yes, this is true. And this is how we proceed. The faith doesn't have to be blind faith. Not that someone told me this and I accept it, and that's it. No, we hear, we proceed, and we see in our own life, yes, some result is coming. This is real. And then we go further, and some confirmation from the environment comes, and we proceed further, and in this way our faith grows. So, as that faith gets stronger, and we stay in the association of the devotees, automatically this affection will develop. Because the devotees are sweet personalities. There's no problem. It's just our own heart. There is a problem. We have to our heart needs to become softened. We can give of ourselves through service and self-surrender. Our heart will be softened and we will feel that affection.
Yeah, sometimes we say that one cannot even study the scripture independently. And you have to study the scripture so that you can hear the book. So, the book is not there physically, but the scriptures are there. We have to study the scriptures.
Well, the bottom line is we need guidance of our living guru. So what Guru is saying is we may not always be in his physical presence, but it's not, for example, Srila Prabhupada said, everything is in my book. So, yes, instructions are there. But now, his book, they become shastra. Shastra's passive. Guidance is there, no doubt. But it's passive. It will depend on how we interpret it. And what is our capacity for interpretation? We're still conditioned by the modes of nature. We're seeing everything through our own separate interests. How will we see through it? Guidance will come. There's some guidance there, no doubt. But will we be able to use it properly? As Gurudev was saying about that example with the sky, we're going to go, oh, Brahman is great. Brahman is like the sky. It's nothing like that. Maybe some rough analogy may be given, but it's nothing like that. And so we read in Prabhupada's books, something is like this. And we relate it to something in our teeny brain and we may be completely wrong. But we can see the same thing. Oh, Guru Maharaj, I read this in this book. And our Guru will say, oh, for you, better to understand like this. And proper understanding. We need a live guru. Shiksha guru, Diksha guru, the same thing. What is the real meaning of guru? Is that guidance is coming from Krishna. And how will we relate with guru? Atmanivedana. We give ourselves to guru. It's not a halfway transaction. If we want real guidance, if we want success, if we want real connection, we have to give ourselves. Really surrender. Not just, I'll come, take something, and then go. That's a business transaction. We're gathering something to make business. We put our heads down. I sold my head at the lotus feet of my guru. I have no other shelter. This is it. I'm here. You have to take care of me. I have no other shelter. That is what it means. People may get so many interpretations of Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita about guru, approach a bona fide spiritual master, render service to him, inquire from him. He can impart the truth because he has seen the truth. So how deep does Krishna's instruction really go? It goes all the way. It means we give ourselves completely. And when we do that, we get everything. But if we don't, only something we get. And according to our motive, maybe nothing spiritual we get. Or practical. But if we give everything, we get everything. Krishna's, he gives many things in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is so kind, he is giving entrance to everybody. Oh, you want Karma Yoga? No problem. Oh, you want Jnana Yoga? No problem. Krishna is kind. Everyone is just parts and parcels. He wants to help everyone. And Bhagavad Gita is like that. But our acharyas, they are in the line of the Rupanuga Sampradaya. And what is the Rupanuga Sampradaya? complete service, exclusive service, undeviating service. So if we want to understand Bhagavad Gita properly, we understand it in that line. So what does that mean? To inquire submissively from a guru? It means, I am yours, my master. You, please tell me what you want me to do. That's submissive inquiry. It means self-surrender. It means 100%. You want results? 100%. That's our path. That's the line of the Rupananda Sampradaya. Exclusive. And we don't care about anything else. We don't care about any other conception. This is our life. This is our... We will give honor everywhere. No problem with that. But what is my focus? What is my absorption? Is the lotus feet of my guru. What he wants? That's everything to me. What will please him? That's my life and soul. That's our move. So, the formality of I have this initiation or that initiation is less important than the reality of complete surrender as a lotus feet of guru. And we need guru. Guru is everything. Guru is everything. It can't be stressed enough. Guru is everything. Real, alive guru. And twice I've had guru that they left these chances, their worldly pastimes. And both times, much difficulty I had. And then I got guidance or shelter in the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada left, very difficult. So much instruction we had, big organization, so many problems. Then I got shelter under Srila Sharana. Such wonderful guidance. But he also left his temple, left to his eternal abode. But under Srila Govinda Maharaj, again, no problem. Shelter, guidance, real spiritual life. I mean, I could have done like some of my god brothers, you know, and said, after Prabhupada left, I have everything. Go on my way. I'm not at that point. Not at that point. I don't know for sure. I don't have direct connection with that transcendental world. I'm fallen soul. I need guidance. So, with a proper guru, you're safe. Without guru, it's a very difficult position. So, here's the
rule. Then so it's like, you did the truth and it's coming from one source. Why the message not just the same one? So that every Vaishnava that look at those lines can function anyway. Sometimes you go to this set a mad.
I understand what you're saying, and yeah, but the thing is this, that this is a personal philosophy. It means, implies personality. It implies individuality. So if one devotee, and I say devotee is not a cheap thing. The word devotee means someone has devotion. This is a very rare thing. It means Vaishnava. This is a very high thing. So if one Vaishnava is feeling affection, love for Krishna, and getting inspiration from Krishna in a particular way, and a given Vaishnava is getting inspiration from Krishna in a little different way, Can you say one is wrong and one is right? This is Krishna's expression. Three different devotees. Each devotee is like a particular type of beautiful gem, reflecting light in slightly different ways. This is the beauty of Krishna's variety. Krishna is infinite forms, infinite possibilities, infinite ways to, in the spiritual world, we may say, oh, prema, love for Krishna. But love for Krishna, prema in the spiritual world is always new, always expanding, always different, always sweet. So we don't want to try and impose our limitations on that divine plane. Let it appear however it will appear. But the key is that wherever we put our head, we put it completely there. Exclusive devotion. That means that find where your heart feels inspiration. Follow your heart. But when you find that place that your heart has brought you, then you put your offer your head there and don't look back. Run forward there and only there. Exclusive devotion, you'll get everything. But as long as you're looking here, some there, then you will just stay at that level. But if you want to go forward, you have to take one road. It's like that you may be at a crossroads. There may be many roads. And this one is good. You go a little ways and you come back. Oh, but this one is good too. But you don't get anywhere. You have to take one road to actually make progress. So, if it's a bona fide guru, then take it. Go. If you feel some inspiration, go for it. But exclusively. Give yourself 100% there. And don't look back. That will be perfect. That will give you so much. You'll make real progress. Everything was there. That's the Rupa Nirvana. We don't see. We may give honor to so many devotees. And we associate in a friendly way with many people. But where is my heart? Where is my goal? 100%. Am I looking somewhere else? No. Looking to my guru. Always looking to my guru. That is devotion. That means that devotion to Krishna. Until then, it's on the mental platform. Where is the heart transaction? We need to have that heart transaction. And if there's no surrender, then how will we develop affection? It just stays on some mental platform. Some mental platform doesn't have much connection with reality. Only when we get that heart connection, then we have some chance. Intellect and mind can't give us Krishna. The deity is not stone, it's real. But our mind can only analyze as far as the stone. What are the material elements there? Guru Maharaj is here. It's not just the statue, he is here. But how can I say that? Because my guru has told me. And why do I believe it? Because I have affection for him in faith. It's the heart transaction. And that's why I can say that. But my mind could never figure that out. But I can only have that connection because I'm ready. At least I want to give everything. I'm still holding back and I'm trying to give everything. But I want to give everything. My desire is there. My goal is there. And maybe one day I will be able to surrender. But at least I have the goal. And I'm not looking anywhere else. I don't care about anywhere else. This is my home, this is my shelter, this is everything. And if they won't accept me, I don't have any other shelter. This is the only place I will come. They may kick me out, but I'll wait by the gate. So this mood will be so beneficial to us. Everything we can get. All what is explained in the scriptures, we can get everything. You hear, you read so many wonderful things in all the books, and it all, you, even with faith, you're thinking, oh, this is so nice, this is, it all becomes real with surrender at Guru's feet. Everything becomes real then. But we have to make that step. Give ourselves at one point, exclusively. But you have to look within yourself. Where is your heart taking you? Where do you find that divine flow? Where you find that divine flow, where you feel some inspiration, then you offer your head there. That will be good.
Thank you.